All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis, chapter 2. I'm excited about Doc Smith coming next Sunday. He and I are the dearest of friends. Just thank the Lord for him and his friendship. And we were friends back 20 years ago when he left and I came. And now, after 20 years, we're even better friends. And just thank God for him. It's good to have him back to the church. Had him back every year since I've come, and he went to the sword. But always good to have him come back and be with us. So I hope you'll plan to be here next week. Bring somebody with you, and let's trust the Lord to send revival to our church and to our hearts. All right, Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 21. And if you will follow along in your Bible, we'll read to you where God created the woman from the man. He created Eve from Adam. So if you'll look at verse 21, it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." All right, let's pray together. And then I want to speak to you this morning. Just a message. I'm just going to simply call this a Mother's Day challenge. But I want to have you keep your Bible open, and I want to show you something from these verses I trust will help you and bless your hearts today. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for your word, and I pray your blessings upon your word this morning. I pray you'll fill me with your spirit and help me now as I speak. I cannot do this alone. I cannot do this in my own strength. So, Father, I pray you'll bless and help me now as I preach. I pray that every heart will be encouraged. I pray you'll strengthen all of us in the Word of God this morning. May we leave here with a little better understanding of you and of your Word and of what you have done for us when you redeemed us, when you saved us from our sin. So bless now, Lord, and we'll give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. There are so many things in our world that were clearly and simply designed by God for our benefit. They are so obvious. And yet I think we often completely overlook so many things that God has just obviously done for us. The truth is, they are so obvious, and I suppose that may be why they're so easily overlooked. And I want to speak this morning on one of those obvious things. When I give you the premise upon which I'm going to build the message this morning, you're going to sit there and think to yourself, "Well, I see that, but I've never thought of that myself." But it's so obvious that every one of us should have thought about it. I want you to notice how God chose in the Bible to compare the family with the Godhead. You see, God created the family. I just read that for you. He made man, and then he took the man and he made a woman. And he created, God created the institution of the home, the institution of the family. And what I want you to notice is when God created the family, the home, he patterned the home after the Godhead. Now, we know that God created the first home. I just read it for you. Why has the family unit since creation, since the days of Adam and Eve, and that's what makes what they're doing today so wrong, because they're trying to change the biblical pattern of the home. Now, I'm not going to preach on that, but I could. I just want to lay that out there and let you think about it. You say, why are you Christian? Why are you conservative Christian folks? Why are you fundamental Christians all riled up over same-sex marriage? Well, this is why. They're changing the pattern. Selah, think about it. That's not the sermon. I don't want to get off on that. But, oh, am I tempted to get off on that. But think about it, folks. The Bible says, and John's one told us about this in the book of 1 John. He talked about how that God is Father, and then he's Son, and he's Spirit. He is three, yet one. And then I want you to notice that when God created the family, he patterned the family after that design of the Godhead. Three, yet one. Why has the family unit since the days of the garden been a dad and a mom and children? Why has it been like that? Because that's the way God designed it. That's the way God created it. That's the way God established the family. And notice that when God created this institution that we call the home, the family, he chose to call the head of the family, the man. He chose to call the head of the family after his own name. The dad is the father in the home. You might well remember that the Lord Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount how to pray. And when he taught us how to pray, he said, pray on this wise: Our Father, which art in heaven. And that's why when you listen to some of these ecumenical prayers, before a NASCAR race or before the opening of the government or whatever, and they pray to the all-wise, omnipotent, omniscient, he, she, it, whatever, God, you just ought to just in disgust throw your hands up and say, ain't praying to anybody I know. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is our heavenly Father. God then likened the son or children in the family, gave them the name of what he calls his son, the Lord Jesus. The second named person in the Godhead. So you have in the family a person who represents God the Father, and then there is a person in the family who represents God the Son. Now, by process of elimination, we come to realize who represents the Holy Spirit in the family. There is only one person left, and that is the wife, the woman, the mother in the home. Now, Mom, listen to me. If you would like to find your duties in life, just find in the Bible what the Scriptures tell us the Holy Spirit does in and for the Godhead, and you will then know what you are supposed to do in the home. We have the Father, we have the Son, and then Mom is the Holy Spirit in the home. We know that the Holy Spirit of God comforts, but wait a minute, so does Mother in the home. We know that God the Holy Spirit teaches, but so does Mother in the home. We know that the Holy Spirit guides and directs and convicts, so does Mother in the home. You know, there were many a time as an unsaved teenager when I was about ready to do something foolish, and all of a sudden a mental image of my mother with that finger out came rushing into my mind. Oh, she wasn't there, but her conviction was sure there. You see, the Holy Spirit, we're told in the Bible, inspires and encourages. And by the way, Mother inspires and encourages. I remember about the end of September calling home at the end of my freshman year of college. And I remember telling my mother, I'm coming home, I can't do this. And my mother said, oh, honey, you can do this. I know you can do this. And she spent about 10, 15 minutes telling me all the positive things and all the reasons why I should stay. And I kept saying, but Mom, you don't understand. I don't think I can do it. Oh, honey, I know you can do it. She just kept on, kept on. And finally, I heard my dad say, give me that phone. My dad got on the phone and he said, you are staying. And you're not coming home. And I said, yes, sir. And then my mother got back on the phone and soothed it even more. There's nobody like Mom. Oh, by the way, there's nobody like the Holy Spirit to encourage you and keep you going for God. Oh, he guides and he leads and he directs and he helps. That's just the Holy Spirit. So I'm saying, Mother, just think of all the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and that is what Mother does in the family. If you want to know what your duties are in the family, Mom, all you have to do is read the Bible and find out the duties of the Holy Spirit for the Godhead, and then do in the family what the Holy Spirit does in the Godhead. For you see, Mom, you are the Holy Spirit in the home. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was telling the disciples about the Spirit? About how the Spirit was coming after he ascended to heaven. And as he was talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said this. He told the disciples this. He said, and when he has come, he will not testify of himself, but will testify of me. Isn't that something? Everything the Holy Spirit does is to make Jesus, the Son, look good. Doesn't that sound like Mom to you? Isn't that just like Mom taking care, nursing, loving, compassionate, tender? I'm telling you, folks, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives the attention to the son, and mother is the same way in the home. It's not about her, and when it is about her, that family's got problems. It's about the son. It's about the son. It's about, so far as the Holy Spirit goes, it's all about Jesus. And mother is the same way in the home. Selfless, giving, patient, loving, only concerned for the well-being of her little ones. That is mom. Now let's think about this idea. Let's think about this pattern that God has made. And I want to point a couple of things out to you this morning. Number one, I want you to realize that every mother has within her the potential for either a world of good or a world of evil. Every mother, aren't you just amazed when you look at our world today? It's amazing that we're even functioning today as a world. I mean, our world has just completely gone upside down. I see some of these mothers screaming and cursing and smacking their kids around in the grocery store. And it's no wonder the children are like they are when mom is like she is. It's no wonder. You see, you're the Holy Spirit in the home, mother, and you can be assured that you will never see the Holy Spirit acting in such a horrible fashion as that. What I find interesting is the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is in Genesis 1:2. And it says there, after God created the heaven and the earth, that the Spirit moved upon what God had created. What was the Spirit doing? He was nurturing. He was providing for. He was administrating. He was caring for what the Father had created. Now, I want you to understand that thought. Within every mother is the potential for a world of good or a world of evil. When God created Eve and brought her to Adam and God established the first home, everything was ideal. There was no sin yet, and life was absolutely wonderful for them. There was not yet sin that stained Adam's brow. There was not yet sin that brought with it the curse and death and pain and suffering and disease and sorrow. None of that was there. But soon, evil found an entrance into the garden. And when Adam and Eve sinned against God and became sinners, and the earth became cursed, and they became cursed with death, the curse of sin, everything then changed. When expelled from the garden and under the curse of sin, everything at that moment was turned on its head. Before sin, Eve stood as the queen of the Garden of Eden. She stood as the epitome of loveliness, moving over what God had given her to do. But then once sin entered into her heart, at that very moment, she possessed the potential for a world of evil. Who would have ever guessed that a woman who possessed so much loveliness would now possess the potential for so much ugliness? In her grace was now the potential for selfishness. In her faith was now the potential for doubt. In her submission was now the potential for prideful rebellion. But that's what sin did to Eve when she willfully disobeyed God. You see, folks, even though she is lovely and even though all the good qualities of womanhood were potentially hers, when she sinned, there was another potential that all of a sudden she possessed. She can, if she chooses, become the epitome of evil or the epitome of good. And folks, you and I both know that our world today is filled with people who have made the wrong choice in that area. If Eve chooses, she can possess the rebellion of a Jezebel who fell and took an entire nation with her. If she chooses, she can be like Athaliah in the Old Testament, who could kill her own grandchildren to make sure that nobody took away her own power. If she chooses, she can possess the hatred of Herodias, who had John the Baptist's head cut off and placed on a silver platter. Or she could choose to be a Rahab who could sell her body to the wicked lust of sinful men. And the truth is, I could go on and on and on and list for you dozens and dozens of mothers who made choices in life that brought shame and disgust to themselves and to their families and to the world because they chose to walk down the wrong path and follow the path of sin. The truth is, ladies, it's up to you to decide, as it was with Eve, what you're going to do with your role in the family, in the home. There is a potential for good, or there is a potential for evil. Beating in the heart of every mother in this room is the potential for good or for evil. Will you choose the loyalty of Sarah, the loveliness of Rachel, the tenderness of Mary, the servitude of Martha, the gentleness of Rebecca, or will you choose the rebellion of Jezebel, or the wickedness of an Athaliah, or the lying lips of a Sapphira? You see, the choice is yours. That capacity is within the heart of every mother. But now, secondly, I want you, let's go. That you say, Pastor, that makes me uncomfortable. I know. Let's go to something a little sweeter, all right? Number two, I want you to think of this. Whatever you choose, mother, listen to me. Whatever you choose. This is why I gave you this first point. I want you to see the second. Whichever you choose, realize that as the Holy Spirit in the family, as the one that represents the Holy Spirit in the Godhead, you set the atmosphere and the spirit in your home. Oh, you've got some power. You've got some influence. Naturally, if mother chooses sin and rebellion, the atmosphere in that home is going to be terrible. Oh, it's not going to be a good atmosphere. I really don't think that you ladies realize the influence you have in your home. But like the Holy Spirit, your influence is remarkably powerful. And you need to realize the mother sets the atmosphere in the home. She can make Eden a paradise if she chooses, or she can curse everything in it like Eve did. She can make an ark a lifeboat in the Nile River. She can make the Nile River a nursery if she wants to. Or she can curse her husband in Job's ash heap. It's her choice. She can save a nation like Esther did, or she can destroy a nation like Jezebel did. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not sure you ladies understand how the atmosphere is set by you. There's this little quip, and I know you've heard it, but it goes like this: happy wife, happy life. Now, men, you should have said amen right there. without an elbow going into your rib cage to encourage you to say amen right there. Because, guys, you know that's true, don't you? Happy wife, happy life. But you see, if the Holy Spirit of the home is not happy, then nobody in that home is happy. Years ago, when I pastored down in Dixie, West Virginia, we had a Wednesday night service, and church was small, and there was only, I don't know, maybe 50, 60 people there on that Wednesday night. And I was teaching on out of Ephesians and talking about the home, and I made the statement when I read the scripture, and I said, the man is the head of the home. And I saw a hand go up, and so I looked over, and it was one of the ladies, and I said, you got a question? She said, no, I got a statement. I said, oh, what's that? She said, Pastor, I'm going to agree with you because it's in the Bible that the man is the head of the home. I said, so what's your point? She said, well, I want you to know that man may be the head of the home, but the woman is the neck that turns the head. And I said, well, I can't find Bible for that, but I'll agree with it. And listen, just like the Holy Spirit is the unseen power, the wife, the mother, is the unseen power in the home. You know, I stand up here and preach every Sunday morning at 8:30 and every Sunday morning at 10:45 and every Sunday night at 6 and every Wednesday night at 7. I am standing up here preaching from the Word of God, but I am relying on the Holy Spirit of God to fuel the sermon so that that sermon speaks to hearts. It is that unseen power that convicts. It is that unseen power of the Holy Spirit that draws and reproves and rebukes and directs and guides. And that is exactly what mother does in the home. You see, Jesus is the one that we exalt around here, but the Spirit gives us the power to exalt Him. The Father is the one who is the great omnipotent God, but the Holy Spirit is the one who causes our attention to be focused and turned toward Him. The gospel is what gets us saved, but the unseen power of the Holy Spirit that is what draws us to accept that gospel. It is the Spirit's power that causes folks to walk down these aisles and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Folks, I'll stand up here and preach and give the gospel and then give an invitation. And while that invitation is being extended, there's this uncomfortable feeling that you have. There is this drawing that you feel. There is this conviction of heart, and you realize, whoa, wait a minute, I need the Lord. And then it is the Spirit that leads you, and before you know it, you're sitting down here with somebody taking an open Bible and showing you how to be saved. How'd that happen? Wasn't me. I don't have the power to do that. But the Spirit of God does. But did you see Him? Oh no, you didn't see Him at all. And you see, Mom, you are the Holy Spirit of the home. Do you know how many times? Do you have any idea how many times Dad has pulled up in the driveway, gotten out of the car, looked over to kids and said, what kind of mood's your mom in tonight? Huh? He knows. He knows who the unseen power is in that house. That's your role, mother. That's why God created you. That's why God made you. So is it any wonder that the devil wants you to act like Jezebel instead of Mary Magdalene? Is it any wonder that the devil wants you to be hateful like David's wife Michal was, who despised her husband for embarrassing her? Is it any wonder that the devil wants you to choose to be selfish like Sapphira was in the book of Acts instead of being a giving and serving soul like Martha was? You see, the truth is we are always looking to see what kind of mood you're in. Your mood sets the tone for the whole family. And if you aren't right, then I want you to know something. Ain't nobody right. That's just the way it is. That's the way God designed it. Why? Because you're the Holy Spirit in the home. I'm sure you know this. But ladies, listen, I almost hate to tell you this in case there's just one of you that doesn't know this. But this is true. God has made it so your spirit can overwhelm the spirit of your husband. God has made you so that your spirit can overwhelm the spirit of man. Oh, your husband may be physically stronger than you, but the reality of the matter is you can always overpower everyone in your domain with your attitude, with your spirit, and with the atmosphere that you create around you. It's just the way it is. And I was thinking, you know, in the last 39 and a half years, I've preached all over the world, literally. I've been all over the world preaching, been all over America preaching. But my favorite place to preach in the whole world is right here. There's no doubt about that. And let me tell you something, folks. My favorite place to preach has nothing to do with this building. It has nothing to do with this pulpit. It has nothing to do with this choir. It has nothing to do with anything other than when I come in here and preach, the Lord shows up. The Spirit of God shows up. I can come in here with a sermon that I look at and I go, ugh, man, I don't know. This one's kind of puny. I can walk in here and look down at my notes and say, Lord, are you sure this is what you wanted me to preach on? Because this, there's not much to this. And then get up here in the pulpit and start preaching it, and all of a sudden the Lord shows up. And God starts to bless. And God speaks to hearts. And I can walk out that door and somebody will walk up and say, Pastor, when you said so and so, and then I get back to my office and think, wait a minute, I didn't even say so and so. You see, what is the main thing is that when we gather here, the Spirit of God shows up and He works. And you know what? The main thing in your home is that mom works. Mom shows up. Mom is mom. She's the Holy Spirit in the home. That's the main thing. Listen to me this morning, mother. It doesn't matter what kind of husband you have. It doesn't matter what kind of kids you have. What matters is if the Holy Spirit is there. You see, you are the Holy Spirit in the home. My dad was unsaved. My dad was a good man. He one day, I can remember when he did it. I was in the first grade. And he said on January the 1st, he said, I'm never going to drink again. And he didn't. My dad said, I am never going to smoke another one. And he put him down and he didn't. And my dad, just a good guy. If somebody's grass needed mowed, my dad go mow their grass. If it snowed and somebody was sick, my dad go clean off their driveway. Just a good guy. And my dad felt like, you know, I'm a pretty good fellow. I guess I'm going to heaven. He joined this lodge thing and did all this secret voodoo stuff and learned all this secret voodoo stuff, you know. And man, that was his religion and he was good. But my mom, the Holy Spirit, wouldn't stop. My mom, the Holy Spirit, knew that stuff wasn't going to get my dad to heaven. You see, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and my mom knew that. And so the Holy Spirit in our home started leaving gospel tracts laying around. The Holy Spirit in our home, who made my dad's lunch every morning, started putting those little comic book tracts about hell. And those, you've seen those before? She put those little tracts in my dad's lunchbox, and he'd get on the office or get on the job, and at lunchtime open up his, and there's a gospel tract. And she would not stop. Every Sunday morning, as we were going out the door, hey, we're going to church. You going with us? Oh, the conviction that had to have brought. But she would not stop. And finally, the day came when my dad said, I'll go with you. And he came. And he came again. And he came again. And a couple of months went by, and then I got saved. And then I got baptized. And then we started coming Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then we started coming on Wednesday night and participating in all the youth group activities. And the next thing you know, one Sunday night service, down the aisle walks my dad, and my dad got saved. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The Holy Spirit of our home was jumping about that high, walking about that high off the carpet that night. Oh, yeah. But she wouldn't quit. She was the Holy Spirit in the home. Let me tell you something. Being the Holy Spirit, that's a big job. But you're the Holy Spirit in your home. You see, it's your job to comfort. Dad's not a good comforter. Right? Dad's not a good comforter. Mom's the comforter. When my kids were little, one of them fall and scrape their knee, run right by me and go to Mom. Oh, I would look down at it and say, oh, it'll be all right. You'll get worse before you die. And here comes Mom, scoops the child up, goes in. Mom knows how to blow on it to make it quit hurting. Mom knows how to put the salve on it and to get the Band-Aid to stick. She just knows how to do that. She's the Holy Spirit in the home. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're sitting here saying, Mother's Day, I'm not appreciated in my home. My kids don't appreciate me. My husband doesn't appreciate me. Well, let me tell you something. Think of this, Mom. There's another member, or there is a member of the Godhead, and he doesn't get very much appreciation either. It's called the Holy Spirit. Truth is, we'd all fall apart around here as a church if it were not for the Holy Spirit. And your home would fall apart if it wasn't for you. Don't get out of your role, Mom. Take your Bible and look up all the verses that tell you about the ministry of the Spirit, and then resolve that you're going to do what He does. Every mother in here ought to bow your head this morning and say, Father, thank you that you made my husband in the image of God the Father, and thank you that you made our children in the image of God the Son, and thank you that you made me in the image of God the Holy Spirit. You see, God had to make Adam and Eve because she brought something to the equation that the Garden of Eden could not give to Adam. She brought something to the home that paradise could not replace. Something that could not be satisfied by the beauty and by the breezes of Eden, or the taste of Eden's fruits, or the fragrance of Eden's flowers. No, it took an Eve to meet the needs that Adam had. You see, Adam had to have Eve. He just wasn't complete until he had her. Just like the church had to have the Holy Spirit in order to be complete. And that's why every husband in this room and every daughter or every son in this room needs you, Mom. You're the glue. You're the completer. You're the atmosphere setter. You're the spirit in the home. Now, since Adam and Eve fell, every mother has had to make a choice of how to wield her influence in the home. Every mother. Will your presence make the light shine a little brighter? Will your presence make the flowers smell a little sweeter? Will your presence make the breeze a little more soothing? Or will it cause chaos, strife, and friction? You see, like it or not, ladies, when God set this world in motion and created the home, He made you the Holy Spirit in the home.